Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Today, Tim, we are talking about commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I think as I think about our world and the nature of commitment in our world. I feel like it's changing a little bit.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
In so many different ways. Like, think about this. Like, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were spending time in a young person's home, probably a millennial, you know, 25, 26, and they had a wedding RSVP on their refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it, you know, was save the date, all those kinds of things to let us know if you're coming. It was, she could tell by looking at the address of where this event was going to be hosted, this is probably a $250, $300 a head wedding, right? And so she starts asking about the wedding, and they're like, oh yeah, that RSVP is due tomorrow. We haven't decided whether or not we're going yet. Yeah. And she was just blown away by this. I'm talking, she was a boomer. Yeah. So in her mind, she's thinking back to the days of old, and she knew if you got a wedding that expensive, you let them know whether or not you're coming as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because she's like, they've got a plan for that, right? Mm-hmm. But we just have this idea of, you know, wanting to wait, and I don't know if I'm going to be ready for that.
Well, it's keep your options open to mindset.
Absolutely.
And we all have that. We're all affected by it, but particularly kids that have grown up in this world of options today.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm doing the greatest thing that I can be doing on Friday night or whatever. And so, you know, we talk commonly about FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yep.
So I'm aware of what's going on out there on my portable device, but I may not commit to anything or decommit, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
If I come up with something better.
Yeah. I don't want to sign up because there might be something that comes along that you know, might be better. And everybody who's been hosting events, you know, we host some events here at Growing Leaders that we know what this is like, right? Because one of the big changes that's happened really even in the last 5 years is that we have more and more people waiting to actually register for an event until just a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you're talking about. I think they're waiting around, even subconsciously, to say, well, I don't want to like lock myself in for those 2 days because who knows what else might happen, or who knows what else I might be feeling bad that day or tired or whatever it is, you know. I think so many of us just are afraid to commit.
Yeah.
I think another thing you were talking about before we got started was the change in for a business when they set out plans.
Yeah.
It's changed drastically.
When I started my career, you made a 20 or 25 year plan, strategic
plan,
business plan. Because change happened less.
Yeah.
Because change is happening more, you know, it went down to 10 and or 15 and then 10. And now, you know, even at Growing Leaders, we have a 5-year adaptive plan. Adaptive.
Yeah.
We may change it.
It's not set.
Yeah, that's right. And we know that's what you have to do because realities change around
us.
Yes. But the point is, change is happening so rapidly and fluidly that even students, getting them to commit to something is very, very difficult to a game, to an event, to a team. And that's really where we're going to head today.
Yeah, this world that they're growing up in is training them not to make long-term commitments.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing a phenomenon. And I'm thinking the coaches who are listening to this right now are going, amen, preach it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this phenomenon is driving them crazy. It's the phenomenon of athletes either decommitting or transferring.
Yeah.
And everywhere we're going, people are saying this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem every single year.
Yeah, so let me talk about Emily. Emily was a wonderful volleyball player in high school, club sports, high school volleyball. And so she got recruited by several Division I volleyball teams. The one she committed to, she signed up. They were very excited. In fact, all the stuff on social media was, glad you're coming. We can hardly wait. She shows up for the first week of volleyball camp, and it is very different than what she felt like she was told.
Mm.
So I'll let the coaches and the players decide what's true, but she felt like it was a bait and switch. You rolled out the red carpet to get me here, but then it was really different when I got here.
Yeah.
And so after a week of volleyball camp, she decommitted. And this is this word that you and I hear from Division I athletic coaches all the time.
Yeah.
We're fortunate to partner with the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, and coaches all the time in those orientation meetings go, what do I do with all the decommits? What do I do with all the college transfers? Just when I thought I had my team locked in, it's a different team now.
Yeah, and this, I think we should be real in saying that there's two ways to think about this.
Yeah.
Lots of the coaches we talk to are saying, athletes like Emily are a part of this generation that has commitment issues. They're just not They're not living up to what they should. They're not following through on their commitments.
Yes.
And here's the thing we want to say. That's true, yeah. right? That is definitely a trend. It's yeah. a part of the world they've grown up in for sure.
Yeah.
But when it comes to us and how we're leading them, I think there's a part of this relationship that is in our control
yeah.
and that we need to own.
No doubt about it. So Emily would say, I feel like they put on the Ritz. They rolled yeah. out the red carpet, all those wonderful things. And this happens especially at Division I schools that are in the Power Five. You know, all of that happens especially there.
Yeah.
But we're going to offer some hopefully wise counsel, some steps, some ideas today that I think you can take to if not resolve this problem, really diminish the problem yeah. on our campuses.
Because right now when these kids are showing up, I think they're showing up with certain expectations like you were talking about because the red carpet has been rolled out. And then when they actually get there, like Emily did week one, what they're seeing is they're getting a different story.
Yeah.
So they show up and they find out, well, actually you can't declare certain majors because those majors require too much time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
basically the coach or, you know, athletic director or whatever is going to limit the majors that their athletes can actually choose because they're going to pick ones that are a little bit easier for
yeah.
them to
yeah.
navigate. Or they'll say, you know what, if you're going to play for us, you can't travel internationally. You can't do
yeah.
distance learning and you can't
yeah.
do, you know, traveling all over the world and all that kind
Which
of stuff.
So many others are doing.
Yeah.
Peers.
So you're
yeah.
watching your peers do that
yeah.
who don't have the same level of commitment. They're going to say you can't participate in certain student clubs or activities.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can't go to that thing or whatever. And so the students feel like more and more my time
yeah.
is taken away. And it basically the message is sent after they get there. Is you're not allowed to have a life outside of our sport.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and that's what's happening. Honestly, this is happening on a high school level, but it's happening
no
even
doubt.
More on that college level where it feels like I'm almost a professional athlete in the sense that I've got time for school and
yeah.
and my sport, and that's it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And so I think yeah. if we're gonna lead them well, we need to do a better job of setting up that reality before. So I want you to lead us through this,
okay.
the seven steps that we can take.
All right, so we've got about seven steps. There may be 700. We've got seven, but let's just lay them out there. You can eat the fish and spit out the bones, listeners. But let's start with number one. The first step, which is rather an obvious one, but maybe it just deserves some attention, is we've got to lead them where we are transparent from the very beginning. Let me say that again. We've got to be transparent from the very beginning. So as I mentioned, Emily told me she wished her coach had been honest from up front, not roll out the red carpet, roll out the green carpet or whatever it is, you know,
yeah.
but say, here's the reality. So certainly coaches, talk about the benefits of your program, what they're really going to get out of committing to this school and this team. But at the same time, you need to be honest with them about this is going to be hard, but it's worth it. And you're going to come across more believable when you do this. If you practice honest, transparent conversation from start to finish. So it might even be wise to put the benefits and challenges on paper. So we can look back at this paper. You know, here was the downside, the upside. And really not downside, but I just think we come across more believable, more authentic to a young student athlete if we're just real from the very beginning.
You know, we've read about coaches, really great coaches who are preparing their team.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they'll do is when you get there, they're honest with you
yeah.
up front. Here's the work it's going to take.
Yeah.
Here's what we're actually asking you to commit to.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things like
yeah.
you're talking about. And here's what happens. Lots of the five-star players that they're recruiting say, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I want to go somewhere who works. And they say, great.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
honestly, I would
yeah.
rather have a kid who I can be honest with,
yeah.
tell them exactly what to expect, and then know that that's what they're committing
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a 4-star athlete that's committed to that than a 5-star athlete who isn't.
And who's grumbling all through the season
exactly.
in the locker room.
Because that's going to affect
poison.
The rest of the players.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
And there's time and again stories of, we talk about all the time, the more focused but less talented team
mm-hmm.
is often going to win.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is because you've got players who understand exactly what the mission is in front of them, exactly what the task is in front of them, which
yeah.
only happens if the coach tells the truth.
Yeah, that's so true.
So good.
All right, so number two, step two is offer them boundaries. So one way you can, you know, quote unquote, keep it real is to lay out expectations and then also suggest some healthy boundaries for the athletes. Let them know they'll need emotional guardrails to keep themselves balanced during the school year. It is going to get taxing. Every college student that doesn't play sports says, I'm overwhelmed by the university. But I think we need to encourage them to build a social life outside the team, to explore traveling and to other things, so they're more balanced. I've even talked to D1 coaches, Andrew, that say, I actually recruit two sport athletes.
Yeah.
They're more mentally and emotionally balanced because they don't just live for one sport and burn out after 1 year.
So good.
So one of the things we taught recently about expectations is, I think that life is pretty much about managing expectations, and yeah. certainly leadership, good leadership,
absolutely.
Is about managing the expectations of the team you have. I believe that conflict surfaces when there is a distance between realities and expectations.
Mm.
So if they come in and you laid an expectation that's way up at number 10, but really reality is 6,
yeah.
you're going to have...
Especially their first year.
Oh my gosh, that 4-point, whatever you call that, distance is going to cause trauma. In fact, conflict rises as the distance expands.
Yeah, because what's happening is you're affecting the trust
yeah,
of the
that's
relationship.
Really true. Yeah.
From the very beginning, coach lied to me about exactly, you know, that may not be how you see it, but yeah. that's how the student athlete perceives
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think a lot of the schools that we work with that are doing really well have basically created an environment where boundaries
yeah.
and great accountability relationships happen
yeah.
naturally.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of our friend Reggie up at App State. His basic job is to just be around the football
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
Because what the coach knows is if I have Reggie there, he's going to naturally just build relationships yep. with these guys, and they're going to come to him and talk to him about stuff. So many different great
yeah.
teams around the
yeah.
country are doing that kind of stuff
yeah.
where they're offering an environment and relationships that can help yeah. create those boundaries.
Yeah. So one of our habitudes is called sturdy guardrails.
Yes.
That's exactly what Reggie is. It's guardrails are used on the road when the road curves, when there's a cliff, when there's oncoming traffic, we
yep.
need a medium.
Yep.
Guardrails are there for a reason. And I would say the road is curving when they go off to college.
Yep.
There are cliffs when they go off to college on Friday night, every Friday night.
Yes.
Just kidding. And we're going to need people and boundaries set in place to make sure they stay on the road.
That's so
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
So good. All right, let's do number three.
Number three. Build a relationship that cares for them as human beings. As predictable as this sounds, this is one place where many, many, many coaches fail, and they think they're not failing. In fact, when I talk to D1 coaches, I'll have a group of them, and I'll say, how many of you feel like you do this? And the majority of hands go up. When I then talk to the student-athletes, 1 hour later, the student-athletes go, no, they don't. So the coach thinks he or she has a relationship, but they don't. So here's what I would say. A great relationship over time trumps red carpet in the beginning.
Yep.
So in other words, build the relationship. You'll win them over. In fact, probably the one thing they lack some of is true, genuine relationships.
Yeah.
Not on social media, in reality.
Yeah.
So coaches, if you can somehow do that. Well, now, one head coach said, well, I think that's the assistant coach's job. No, no. It's yeah. all of your jobs.
So
in
right.
fact, because leadership operates on the basis of trust, I repeat, because leadership operates on the basis of trust, we can't afford not to have good relationships. And then you're communicating through that relationship. It's not just about the sport. It's about your caring for them as human beings. Believe it or not, if you'll care for them as human beings, they'll put out more
yep.
when it is about the sport.
So true.
Because they feel like you're tending their store, so they tend to your store. That's
yeah.
really what it is.
It's so amazing. There are so many examples of coaches who got this right.
Yeah.
In fact, I was listening to an interview with Nick Saban over the summer, you know, yeah. in between the season. And one of the questions he was asked is, what's the biggest change that has happened in your tenure
yeah. Yeah.
at Alabama as coach? And he said, the biggest difference is that I have to have relationships
yeah.
with my players.
Yeah.
That was the number one thing he said.
Isn't that interesting?
If you ask Dabo Swinney, he'll say the exact
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah.
They talk about family. They talk about
yeah.
connecting with each other. They talk about building relationships. When they've got a off weekend, they go out on the lake and mm-hmm. they, you know,
do
stuff,
yeah.
stuff fun together, because they know if you
yeah.
build the relationship, you get the results after
yeah.
the relationship is built. And it reminds me of talking with Colleen Munson, the head volleyball coach up at Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she
yep.
got advice over and over again, build relationships with your girls, build relationships with your girls. And she self-admitted to me, I didn't do that as early as I should.
Yeah.
And then it finally hit me, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
It was like within a year, their program
yeah.
had turned around. Their
yeah.
culture was better. They were getting farther
yeah.
in the NCAA tournament. It was just better, better, better.
True. Softball coach Pat Murphy, same thing. He would
yes.
say the same thing.
Yep.
He's become a great friend, and he would say, building those relationships with those women on that team, that softball team, will make or break how well we handle conflict, losses, errors, strikeouts. So, yeah, relationship is the thing that sustains us. But the problem is, I think everything we're saying, everybody goes, yeah, preach it. You're right. We don't do it because it's hard. It's very difficult.
Our probably immediate thought is, I don't have time for a relationship. And what we're saying is, you don't have time not to have relationships.
So
important.
Good. All right, number four, teach life skills. I know this is politically correct to say that, particularly at the intercollegiate level, but one of the ways you'll stay balanced yourself is to translate the skills your students cultivate on the team, in the sport, into life skills. For instance, teach discipline, resilience, positive attitude, handling setbacks and injuries as part of a larger scope of experiences that they're going to need in their life and career. So yeah, the immediate application is the sport, but always be careful to push pause and say, but you know what? You're going to use this in your career in 5 years. You'll be needing all of these virtues and qualities that we're talking about now. So I just feel like the life skill thing is huge, and it can't just be somebody's job on a athletic department team. They got the life skill badge.
It's not just your character coach.
And you delegate that part. Yeah, the coach can do this as well as anybody.
Because ultimately what you're doing is you're recontextualizing what the game is about.
Yeah, that's
right. Because all of these sports are, at their most fundamental level, it's a game, right?
That's right.
So why do we give it so much attention? Why do we give it so much focus? It's because ultimately we know it's building something in us. And that's what the athletes need to see. It's not just about the wins and losses on the board at the end of the season. Yeah. We are all becoming men and women who are going to be better because we had this experience.
That's so true. I am smiling right now because I'm going to go on a random rabbit trail, Andrew.
Please do.
I'm glad I've never done this before.
I love random rabbit trails.
Well, the movie Game Night came out a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So it's this couple that's very competitive and so forth. And in one particular dinner party they're having with other couples, they're playing these board games in the living room. And... the wife is so caught up. She goes, come on, this is not a game. And he goes, actually, sweetheart, it is. That's right. So we need to remember that even though the sports coaches is your livelihood, it is a game, and it's a picture of real life. And if we can teach real life, again, we win their trust because they realize you got a bigger picture than keeping your job.
Bring it down to the most important level. Even if you got 40,000 screaming fans in the stands, it is still ultimately about building skills in these young people.
Right. So number five is like unto number four. It's a second cousin. Here it is. Expand their vision of what life's about. Let me say it again. Expand their vision of what life's about. So drill them hard during practices, but then surprise them afterwards by encouraging them to experience a life outside of you. It may shock them when you do this. But talk to them about life after graduation, what it can look like to be more than just one-dimensional. So many D1 players are just one-dimensional. And then if they don't go pro, and most of them don't, it's a hardship for them because all they've had in their brain is, I'm going to play pro football or pro basketball or pro whatever. Talk about your early aspirations and dreams. And most of all, if you do this, make sure that your lifestyle backs up your words. We need to make sure that we're living what we're saying. But all I'm simply saying is make sure they see you as a coach, man or woman, who's able to have a life outside and push or promote a life outside of the sport.
And you know, one of the best ways I've seen this done is coaches, athletic directors, leaders who celebrate the right things. I mean, some of the best leaders, best coaches that I know, when they get their whole team together, the first thing they talk about is, do you know so-and-so that graduated last year is in this really great job?
Or
do you know this person's in graduate school? Or, hey, I want you to stand up. He just got a 100 on a test, you know? And they're celebrating things that are beyond the sport because what they know is if I celebrate the right things, I'll teach them that we're not all just here for this one reason. And we're actually working with several departments who are expanding their value of career readiness and helping their student athletes get a vision for what life looks like beyond their sport. And I'll tell you one school that I've been so impressed with spending time with them is the University of Georgia here near us.
Yeah.
What they've focused their entire program, it feels, on helping student athletes to get a bigger picture vision of life beyond their sport. And it's just helping those young men and women think about it in a bigger picture.
Yeah, well, and I remember years ago visiting the University of Texas football team. Donnie Mabe had brought me in, and right before I went on, I was off to the side. they spent at least 10 minutes celebrating the GPA of the football team and who had just made good grades and so forth. And really, a lot of those guys were there more for football than getting good grades. But I love the fact that what gets rewarded gets repeated.
Yes.
And they knew that, and they were celebrating how well they'd done in the classroom, yeah. not just on the field on Saturday.
It's such an easy way to do that, too. Yeah. We just got to make it a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Number six, do something with them outside of your sport.
Mm.
Now, I know some of you listening actually do this, but this is huge because they start seeing another dimension. First of all, this could be as easy as having your team over to your house and introducing your spouse and your children to them.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, you have a life outside.
Yeah, come over, pet my dog, all that kind of stuff.
I remember when I was in elementary school, I was out with my mother at the grocery store, and I saw my teacher. And my first thought was, they let you out of the school? You know, I didn't realize she was a woman and a wife who happened to have a life, you know. But it's just so funny how even as young adults, we get a skewed view that life is all about a sport and it's not something
more. I thought your entire life was sweats and a clipboard, you know. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So you might want to do an opening retreat. Many of you do that already, an opening retreat where you talk about, you know, the big picture and what your goal is for that year. We were just at Ole Miss earlier this last school year, this last season, and their theme this year was Find Your Why.
Yeah.
And I suggested that maybe the coaches take their team out to a graveyard.
Yeah.
And that sounds morbid, I understand, but the team, for instance, men's golf team, walk through the graveyard for about 10 minutes or so in silence, just looking at the tombstones in that graveyard. And then when they were done, they debriefed. What'd you read on those tombstones? Well, what they read was obvious. Wow, that person didn't live a very long time. That person did. That person had very nice things said about them. That person, not so much.
Mm.
And then they talked about what would be the sentence that they would get in the end. What was their why? Is it just scoring, or is it something bigger than that? Now, I know this sounds counterintuitive because you're thinking, well, don't we want them to win? Of course. I actually think you're going to have healthier, better athletes if you build a life it's beyond just the sport, so the sport plays its good role, and they're excellent at the sport when it's time.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. You know, when we give coaches advice on how to grade yourself on teaching leadership and life skills, mm-hmm. the scorecard we give them was something we call 1E5C, one experience, five conversations.
Yeah.
And the challenge for the 1E, the one experience, is at the beginning of the season, or the beginning of the year, do something like that. Visit a graveyard, have them over to your house, do something to set the context for the year. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do something outside of your sport, it leads them to believe that the sport is the only thing that's important. Yeah. And we just know that sets the wrong context.
That's right. Yeah, they may know it intellectually, but we're going to echo what they remember in their mind. Okay?
So good. All right, let's do the last one.
The last one, number seven. I really believe in this advice. It's paid off in my career, but here it is. Think like a parent.
Mm.
Think like a parent. Probably this one, as I just mentioned, trumps all others. As you both recruit and coach players, say and do only the things you would want done for your own kids. I'll never forget hearing Dayton Moore, the general manager for the Kansas City Royals. We'd worked with them for many, many years, but Dayton just told me, I want to build a ball club that I would want my son to play for.
Yeah.
What a great report card for a general manager of a baseball team. So would you want your children to have a coach like you? I mean, that's a good question. Would I want my kids to have a coach like me? If you're honest, you might go, not really, or not all the time, or not every day. One that promises one thing and follows through on another, or fails to follow through. So I just think it's huge that if we coach like a parent, we're going to make wiser, healthier, big picture decisions all along the way. In fact, this may be the one criteria that makes sure that all the others happen.
Yeah.
In the list that we have here.
I think it could be easy for a lot of collegiate sports that frankly are big business.
Yeah.
It's sort of maybe broken the way that we think about this. And a lot of us may easily fall into having a business relationship with our student athletes, but that can't be what it is,
right?
Because we're not going to help them succeed in a business relationship.
Yeah.
They really need somebody who cares about them, wants the best for them, is developing the whole person, not just saying, hey, how can I get the most wins out of you possible?
Yeah.
And when we shift that mindset, I think it's going to help a lot.
Absolutely.
So good, Tim. So good. Let me go back over these really quick because I think it could be helpful. Number one was be transparent from the beginning. Tell the truth. Even during the recruiting process, you'll get the right players, not just the best players. And that's going to end up being more important. Number two, offer them boundaries. Build those sturdy guardrails, and they're going to thank you later for that. Number three, build a relationship that cares for them as human beings. The relationship is so important to the end success for them. Number four, teach them life skills. Don't just teach them the hard skills of your sport, life skills, the soft skills that they're going to need beyond the sport. Number five, expand their vision of what life's about. Paint a picture that's bigger. Celebrate the things that are beyond your sport, and what you'll see is it pays off. Number six, do something with them outside of the sport. Have some sort of experience, activity, gathering. It's going to make a huge difference. And then the last one is think like a parent. Ask yourself, how would I want my son or my daughter to be treated in this situation, and do that. So,
Andrew, you mentioned something earlier I want to just underscore. If you're listening and you're thinking, this makes sense, it's kind of what I do maybe, but you mentioned the 1E5C.
Yeah.
Let's take 60 seconds to talk about that. If that makes sense to you, it's one experience, five conversations. We believe every season a coach does a better job when they host an experience like going to the graveyard, you know, but then five conversations that are good subsequent conversations based on the habitude images that we've created.
Yep.
We believe pictures are worth 1,000 words. They get student engagement. So
Absolutely. We
have a library of 120 images that you can choose from. JT would be a great person to talk to.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you go to our website, growingleaders.com, and look under habitudes, you'll see habitudes for athletes there, and that's a great way to get connected. Those five conversations are all about those life skills,
like we
talked about, and we really do believe habitudes is it's the best tool on the market.
Yeah, yeah.
There are probably a lot of ways you could have those five conversations, but we really think habitudes is a great tool for that, an easy way, a quick way, and a memorable way to have some of those conversations and talk about the things that matter, character and discipline and focus
Absolutely.
And clarity and all those kinds of things. So that's a great tool for you. Another great tool, if you're kind of in the introduction to this, or you're like, man, I really want somebody that I work with or somebody that I coach with to get some of this, you could send them this podcast. Here's another great thing you can do. We have a free ebook called The New School Coach, and it's all about the change that's happening in coaching today. Yeah. And you can get that free ebook on our website. If you go to growingleaders.com, we have a tab that says free. If you click on that, you'll find The New School Coach there. That's a really great, short, easy read where Tim really establishes what does it look like to be a coach in the 21st century with these new athletes.
Yeah.
And it's a really helpful resource. We've got a whole lot of great feedback on that. So please check that out. Tim, thanks so much for leading us through this conversation. As always, it would really help us out if you would rate this podcast, whether that was on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you give us 5 stars, that lets other people know about this podcast. Connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. We love connecting with you there and hearing your feedback about the podcast. And as always, if you've got ideas of things you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love hearing from you. So thanks again so much, Tim, for leading us in this conversation. Thank you guys for listening in and joining us, and we'll see you next time.